Hey, do me a favor, David, and don't mention this to Dad, because I haven't chosen my courses yet, and if he finds out, he's just gonna, like, buzz around until I ask him his opinion, and no offense to him, but I don't want it.
This is the same college where Malala gave that devastating commencement speech, right?
I don't know, David. Maybe he did.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series and we're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
You're excited to go to college, to move on with your, to make progress.
I'm not.
Job at the,
I'm not doing any of that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Most of the things happening in this episode don't apply to my current life situations.
So you haven't opened up a store recently and you just can't find time to make out with your boyfriend during office hours or store open times?
Well, I guess I was thinking more of the, I'm not taking pregnancy tests,
okay,
and I'm not going to college.
Okay. Yeah, those are the two big things happening here. Okay.
Yeah.
So before we get started, I thought I could read a couple new reviews that we got. It's been a little while since I've read some.
Okay.
So we now have over 50 reviews. So thank you, anybody who has left us reviews.
A nice one. Not thank you.
Oh, a nice one. No. And we're not going to read mean ones. Although, it's just so we're not going to read mean ones. There was one.
Oh, but we're going to.
Sometimes people get very specific with their meanness.
Oh.
And that's really, like, rough, and I don't like to read that. This person, it was a long time ago. It was one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. I just, like, when I read it, I just had to smile and just be like, that's fair. It was one person just wrote, what an obnoxious duo. That was it. That's all they wrote. But
well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yes. We don't need to hear it. I mean, unless it's positive. Then let us know. So I'm going to read two here. This one is by Mimo89. I feel like based on the first sentence, this might be someone we know. Because
nobody else would say something so nice about us?
Yeah, I mean, it says, it starts not even through the first episode, and I love them. I would be shocked if someone listens to only the first episode, and they're like, I'm going to keep listening to this. I feel like it took us a while to kind of figure this out. Mimo goes on to say they have nice voices.
Oh.
Again, surprising.
Yeah, we're an obnoxious duo.
Right,
so,
yes,
you know.
Exactly. They don't ramble on and go off topic.
We are right now.
And I... They're just really great at going through each scene, really great at not going through each scene too long and staying on any one thing. And then the next one, Michael J. 12, which I like to think it was Michael J. Fox, like, making a profile, and he was so angry that there were 11 other people that made it before him.
Okay.
So this podcast, this is kind of funny. I think Michael J. might be reading something into this. This podcast does a great job of making the commentary of a great show very entertaining. Paul and Carla are hilarious to listen to, and I love their arguing 45% of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
That's a very specific number, and I don't know. I'm sure there were some episodes where we disagreed.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're arguing, but I love it. Then goes on to say, again, people, 5-star review, we argue. Though they don't always get all the references and information correct.
Yeah, we know
right.
That's true.
No, we know
we never
that.
Claim to be to be good at what we do.
It's a great way to listen to people talk about my favorite show.
Aww,
so,
well,
very nice.
Very nice. Thanks, Michael J. and Mimo.
Mimo,
right?
Yeah,
like Mimo, but with an M.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So again, thank you, everybody. And if you want to lead,
Nice words.
Nice.
If you want to call us obnoxious, you can. Oh, that's fine. Clearly, we don't take too much offense.
No. And if you're going to call us obnoxious, just leave 5 stars. Just leave 5 stars and say something terrible. I'm okay with that. That doesn't really matter. It helps whatever the algorithm is, if I'm even using that term correctly. Probably not.
I don't know.
All right, great. So we are here, in case you're unaware, in case you've gone this far, to talk about... Oh, go ahead.
No, nothing.
No?
I was going to say, and you don't know we're here? Right. You think it's another obnoxious duo jumping in to take our place?
Yeah. Maybe someday.
Maybe.
We're here to talk about the second episode of season 4, Pregnancy Test. The original air date of this episode was January 16th of 2018. Now, we have a new name, we had a new director last time, we have a new director this time. They're introducing all these new people now, since a few have gone away from the first few seasons. Okay, I think I got this name.
Oh, no.
No, it's the first name. Directed by Sturla, S-T-U-R-L-A.
I guess, I don't know, I like that name, that's... interesting.
Gunnarsson.
That's a fun name.
It's a super fun name. This director is Irish.
Oh, cool.
When you said you like the name Sturla, would you assume it was a male or female?
I don't know. I don't want to offend Sturla.
No, I know.
About their name.
I assumed it was a female. I thought we might have our first female director.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not.
Yeah.
Sturla is a man.
Maybe in Ireland that's a popular man's name.
Yeah.
We don't know much about Ireland or Canada.
Oh,
as I'm sure many of you have realized.
We know very little. Yes. We get out of our own state, we're confused. So this is the first of 6 episodes that he'll direct this season. So really, between he and the previous director, they've almost accounted for everything.
Sturla.
Yeah. But neither director gets beyond this season. So they're very season 4 staples. Okay. Not a whole lot of stuff that we've talked about before. He's a big director, over 50 directing credits to his name. He directed on shows such as the 80s Twilight Zone reboot. And also in the 80s, they rebooted Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and he directed episodes of those.
I don't know if I've ever seen any reboots. I don't think I've ever seen Alfred Hitchcock Presents in my life.
Oh, okay.
But certainly lots of Twilight Zone, but only, I think, the original, not...
Yeah.
Not
right.
Any kind of... I didn't even know they rebooted it.
You didn't watch them in color is what you're saying. If you see a Twilight Zone in color, it's an 80s Twilight Zone.
Never had that
pleasure,
I guess. Are they good? Was it a good reboot?
I don't remember. I've seen some. Okay. I think they actually made some more recently, maybe in the past 20 years as well.
So he's been directing for quite a while then, if he was rebooting shows in the 80s.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
He worked on some shows that we talked about. The Firm TV series, mm-hmm. and Rookie Blue. He also directed a few TV movie biopics, like Joe Torre, who's a baseball coach.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know who that
that's
is.
Fine. No,
but,
no,
that's fine. Okay.
Joe Torre, Curveballs Along the Way.
Oh.
And Ricky Nelson, Original Teen Idol.
Well, that's fun.
And he's done a decent amount of documentaries. So, and since Schitt's Creek, his credits are the TV series Ransom and Street Legal. So I know that was a lot, but he's a new name, so we take the time.
New name, but he's been around the block a few times.
Yes, exactly. And this is written by David West Reed, who we will talk about up until the final season. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying no information needed, but we already put that information in his first appearance. Yes. So let's open in the kids' room. I have a dumb question for you right off the bat.
Oh, I am sure you
do. Because this...
Maybe these are the arguments.
Michael J. is like, yes, another one. He's making a tally.
Maybe we just say mean things to each other.
Right, maybe that's it. Yeah, folks, this is just our normal life. This is not...
Yeah, we live together 24/7, so who's Carrie Bradshaw?
No.
Okay, that's where I was thinking maybe this was
going to go. No.
Oh, no. I hope I know the answer to this dumb question.
It's completely subjective, because I think I might just be crazy. And it might just be our TV, or it might be Netflix. Did this episode look really bright to you?
I did not notice.
Okay. It just...
And however, I feel like, not that I'm not watching the episode, but when we're doing this, much of the episode, I'm listening and writing.
Just taking
so
notes,
I feel
right.
like I'm not, you know, necessarily... All, I mean, I'm certainly looking at the screen, yeah. but I didn't notice any brightness. Although Alexis was very shiny. She was picking out a really fun Carrie Bradshaw-esque dress.
Maybe that's what it
which
was.
Which is, I sort of loved. That was like a fun... Alexis always has great fashion moments, but that was one that I, like, super loved when she showed up at Elmdale and she had, like, her
fun dress on. Because
you're
like, oh, I've seen
on.
Sex in the City. I know
I
what that means. Okay. All right.
But no, I don't really know. It was a fun reference.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe that was why it looked bright.
Right.
You know, it was bright because she was off to start a bright new future at Elmdale College.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
All right. I thought they may have brought in extra lights for all the interior scenes, but I could just I'm sure
we'll
I'm
totally pay attention
wrong.
And see if it continues to look bright.
Okay. Episode one didn't. Okay. Anyway.
Well, maybe they just decided.
We're good at staying on target.
Okay, but wait.
I did this.
I can spin this to maybe.
Sure.
Maybe they did make adjustments to things along the way because they wanted to show things are looking up. Things are looking brighter for this family's life. Everybody now has a purpose. Everybody has a job. People are,
you could
know,
certainly
doing
be right.
things.
And I know I'm talking about something that cannot...
I'm reading a lot into
no,
it.
No, I'm reading a lot into it. I think I'm just derailing this conversation off the bat.
Then let's end it now
right,
and
exactly.
wrap it up.
Exactly. I was going to say, because the cafe doesn't look any different, but their motel room did.
Okay.
All right. So...
Maybe they put new light bulbs in because now Johnny and Stevie are
they brighten the rooms, right?
He is making... Well, they're selling out now, right?
He's like,
they're
we can invest this money in brighter bulbs. Right.
Yes. Anyway.
So we find out that Alexis is starting at Elmdale Community
She's going
College.
To orientation.
Orientation, right.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess she's all, like, registered and ready to go.
That's what I was...
Or is she going to check things out? I mean, orientation, like, I'm trying to think. When we went to orientation in college, mm-hmm. that was, like, I don't remember. Like...
You weren't... You may have been accepted.
I think you were accepted.
I don't think you gave them
like,
a dime yet, though.
We both went to the same college, and we
right.
met in college, and that's... You know, so we both kind of had obviously a similar experience leading up to starting as freshmen.
Sure.
And I remember having to go in the summer, remember, right before school started and you had
yeah.
to like take a placement test for certain subject areas and write. You had to write
yes.
like a essay and you stayed in the dorm.
You stayed in the dorms. Yes.
Was that orientation?
I thought it was.
I'm sorry, orientation?
Orientation. I thought it was. And now that we're talking about how late that was, yeah, you probably did.
I feel like it was in like July and then
to
we
go there.
Started in August.
Yeah.
But I don't, I guess that was orientation.
It was orientation. Yeah, so that must be what this is. Because she talks about withdrawing and
yeah,
and
so I think she's like all registered
back.
And kind
right.
of going to learn all about the moss-covered buildings and the quad.
It looks, that brochure
which we'll
looks
talk
amazing.
About later,
right, exactly.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess she's going to kind of just check things out.
Right, yes. But she's very excited, I guess a little bit,
mm-hmm.
possibly a little bit nervous.
Yes.
And I guess David is the only person that knows about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because no one, yeah, certainly
right.
no one else does.
He's
which
just,
is interesting that she's going, like, going and
it's
doing this.
It's interesting
and
that there was
not mentioning it to anyone.
Nothing in the previous episode about this. Like, even a little teaser of her opening, you know, this brochure or something like that. It really is abrupt. Like,
yeah, unless,
this is what I'm doing.
Unless we miss something, because we don't always get things right,
what are you talking
which
about?
We know
we
and readily
miss,
admit.
We don't miss a thing. I don't know what you're talking about. So, David's kind of, I don't know, being as supportive
being David.
As sarcastic David could be.
Uh-huh.
I do like how she points out that Jocelyn told her that all of her best students go to Elmdale Community College.
Right, yeah. And he's basically like, well, if her best students go there,
right.
is it really that great?
Yes, yeah. He says, like, that says more about Jocelyn as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
In this conversation, though, during this conversation, she does make it a point to say, don't tell mom or dad, especially Johnny, I think.
Right. Yeah, because she's worried he's going to get his hands in everything, which we know. Yeah.
He'll rewrite her papers. Right. She'll fail classes because of him.
Yeah, she's concerned that he's going to tell her what to take and what classes she needs to do and everything else. So, yeah, she kind of wants to keep this on the down low for a little while. Yeah.
Valid concern. Yeah. But honestly, I don't know if she should be that worried about it. He's got this whole motel thing to worry about now. He has things to occupy his time and attention. So I don't know if he'd be so in her business as he was when he was sitting in Bob's garage.
I don't know, though. I think he likes to be, you know, as soon as he hears something that he like that he can kind of get involved in, I think it's hard for him not to.
Right. But during all this, Johnny comes in. And says that it's garbage day.
He comes to the door for the garbage.
Yep. He's got little gloves on and everything like that.
He's wearing, because they basically say, well, ours is full. And he's like, I told you you're supposed to tie it up and put it outside. Yes. To which David is like, well, I just put something in it that made it full. Right. I feel like that's like our house.
Oh, this is totally me on.
Oh, yeah.
When
you,
things
I need
up.
To buy you little gloves because you are constantly complaining about how the women in this house, because there are four of us, handle the garbage. And now, granted, one of those women is six.
By handling the garbage, you mean treating it as David does in this episode, where things are precariously piled up to where I move the recycling can out and eight empty bottles fall all over the floor. Okay.
This was relatable in all sense of the word.
Possibly the most relatable thing in this entire series so far.
I don't know about that, but it was relatable. Yeah, but I loved when Alexis is like, oh, you're wearing your little gloves, so you can do it.
So here's my question.
Oh, no.
Because
were the trash bags bright?
No.
Did they look extra bright?
She is wearing a Carrie Bradshaw dress.
I don't know if was she wearing it or holding it? I think she was debating what to wear.
Never
I could
mind.
Be wrong, though, because
so we just watched this.
I know.
Less than 12 hours ago.
But again, like I said, oftentimes
I
you're writing, and there are times we have to rewind because we're like, wait, what? What did you, it's specifically
no,
in
no,
this
no.
episode? We
I
did
get it.
It.
The only question I had is David covering for her because she leaves and he says to Johnny that she went for a run? And I was like, well, wait, if she's wearing that dress and going to the school, is he lying for her or is she really going for a run because she's all stressed out?
I have to say, I don't recall because now I don't. I felt like she was holding that dress, but perhaps she was wearing
it. No, that's fine. But all of this is because Johnny comes out of their bathroom and is concerned.
Oh, but wait, before that happens.
Sure, we're at 30 seconds into the
episode. There was also a really funny little exchange when she talks about, I guess she was talking to him about Elmdale, and David says to her, isn't that where Malala did her devastating speech?
Right, yes.
And then Alexis comments back and says, I don't know, David. Maybe he did.
Right, yes.
Which I thought was funny, too. I'm like, hey.
No, you're right. Yeah, that is funny.
She doesn't even know who that person is.
I totally forgot about that.
Or anything, which I also thought was a really just funny little line in there. And I think that was literally, like, as she was getting ready to head out the door. Because Johnny was not there when they said that. And then he came out, and now it goes into the big realization, the big concern
really,
that you
this
were just going
is
to
about
mention. Right.
Is that he finds a pregnancy test in their trash. And of course, I mean, suspects Alexis as you would.
Of course, that totally makes
sense.
Who else would throw their pregnancy test away in that trash can?
Right.
Right.
And now we finally get
because he comes. Oh. Well, he also comes out and says, and this line is like a little foreshadow to all the comedic confusion that happened in this episode. He said, I think there's big changes coming for Alexis.
Right.
Which, of course, David is anticipating different changes, college changes.
Yes.
And that's when he does share that he's found this pregnancy test in their trash can.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think that big changes for Alexis, like I said, leads right into the confusion and hilarity that ensues.
So after our title sequence, which we finally gotten to, we're 20 minutes into our episode. It just cuts to back to the parents' room, and they are having a family discussion about this pregnancy test.
Yes.
And Moira's just screaming, like, every word.
Well, she's told them to be responsible because mm-hmm. they cannot handle any podunk babies, yes. right? And track your cycle, she told Stevie. Mm-hmm. Like, this obviously has yeah. been a concern to her their entire time there.
And as you said, I believe in that episode, she says podunk baby. And now we realize...
This was the first episode that and again, I'm sure maybe it has popped, but this was the first very, very clear bebes.
Yeah, I don't know that it's happened before this. I don't know.
I think maybe it has. I feel like we've talked about it in other episodes. Maybe we talked about it saying like it didn't sound the same.
Right.
But yeah, this one was very clear later on.
Very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Nobody bats an eye at this because they're just used to it. And she's screaming about how Alexis is going to have to live in homes for unwed mothers.
Can I also just say, though, that I loved the fact that they looked at the pregnancy test and said it was a positive result because there was a smiley face.
I love that.
Which I thought was great.
Yes.
The smiley face is the indicator that you are having a baby on this particular pregnancy test. Which
exactly.
I thought was amazing.
And I'm just imagining, you know, a little smiley emoji. And then I guess the negative would be like a frowny one.
I guess.
One with a little teardrop or maybe like the angry emoji.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. But I thought that was depending, a really interesting...
Depending on your plans, that might not make sense
totally.
At all.
Right.
She does say that there might be plenty of homes for unwed mothers on this side of the tracks.
Yeah. But I think Johnny's kind of like, you know, we just want her to feel supported.
Sure.
You know, Johnny, again, is like the voice of reason, kind of like calming down the crazy of Moira.
It is kind of like letting them get, I mean, even David, too, because David seems more frustrated by this than angry or anything like that, or even really surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Johnny's like, just get this out of your system now. You crazy maniacs, because we're going to have to support her.
Right.
And we're going to have to seem like we're rational human beings when we deal with her next.
Right, yeah.
I like how the scene ends with Moira sort of blaming David for this. And David saying, I'm not a condom.
Johnny says to him,
Johnny?
You should have done a better job looking out for her. It was actually Johnny. And yeah, that's when David said, sorry, I'm not a condom.
Right, yeah. Right. So now we go to Rose Apothecary. Where Patrick appears to be the only person we've met so far who seems to wonder how Alexis is doing with all of this.
And I'm sure he just unloaded everything.
But I'm sure it was, this is going to affect me negatively, my business
yes.
negatively,
and that's
my
why
family.
David, or I'm sorry, that's why Patrick was kind of like, you know, as Patrick would be.
Yes.
Well, I wonder how Alexis is handling, you know, turning the tables on.
Yes.
This is Alexis's issue, and she is probably struggling with this. And of course, he is always the, you know, realistic voice of reason. Like, his role is always to,
and,
you know, bring David back
right.
to reality and calm him.
Right.
And he's that calming force on him a lot of the time.
Yes. Sometimes in a demeaning sort of tone, which I even felt
I
like
know.
With this, but
yeah,
sometimes I
no.
mean sometimes it's justified, like really, like, you, maybe this is more about your sister than you and
right.
even the rest of your family,
right. Yeah,
but we can talk more about that as we go, I guess.
Yeah, demeaning, I don't know if that's
the right word? It might not, that might be a little
but,
bit harsh, yes.
Yeah, I think that's harsh, but anyway.
Also, they seem, I'm not crazy about David and Patrick's journey, to use the Schitt's Creek term, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like that it's just about them, like, not having private time. It almost seems to me like, I don't know, what do we do with these characters? There's a lot of other stuff happening.
I guess if it's a new, you know, when you're in a new relationship,
Right.
Obviously, you want to spend time together. You sure. want to start to connect and get to know each other and everything else.
And I guess it can be frustrating because...
And where would they go? Like, he's at Ray's.
Yes.
David shares a room with his sister as an adult.
I do, like... Is
like,
this
there
the
isn't anywhere. Right. The motel is booked, they can't go to the motel.
They would just
the
go to
town
a different,
motel.
A different room.
They would literally have to go to a different town,
yes.
I guess, and maybe in other towns, all their motels are booked, too.
Okay. All
so
right.
I really do get the reality of... There really isn't a place for them to go to have any sort of privacy unless they literally go away.
Like, I just found David to be very
on a trip or something.
Complainy for the most part in this episode. And certainly during this discussion where I'm like, you just started this business. Like, I mean, this relationship isn't important. It certainly is, everything like that. But it's just like, you put all your time and effort and energy into this store. So why are you suddenly rude to the only customer of the day?
I know. There's not, it's not after their
it's not a bustling
opening and everything. Yeah. It's been relatively quiet.
I also understand at one point, Stevie does say, you know, it's 1 in the afternoon on a Friday. So maybe this is before that. So maybe it's, you know, 11 a.m. on a Friday. There are not going to be a lot of people coming in.
Yeah.
But again, a customer comes in and asks about bath salts. And David gives her a little bit of attitude before Patrick's like, yeah, we do have those.
Right, and let me show you where they are. And so he kind of goes back into that, like, professional business, stance.
This is the only, I don't want to say only guest star, but the only new guest star that we get in this episode, credited as apothecary customer.
Hmm.
Her name is Laura Abramson. A few credits to her name. I found this fascinating. All right, maybe fascinating is a bit strong. Every single credit
give
on
Laura
her...
Laura some credit. No, be fascinating.
No, that's not what I mean. All credits on her IMDb are films. This is the only TV series that she was ever in.
Oh.
And I don't
but
know.
But like we said, it's a what really a great TV.
Choice.
You know,
yeah.
that's happened before, and we're always like, how amazing that if you're going to be in a TV series, like, what a great one to be able to have the opportunity to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. So because they're all films, most of them are small, independent films that we... really aren't aware of. She did play a reporter in a really fun movie called Wolf Cop.
I have never seen or heard of that, but I'm sure you have.
It's about a
wolf cop
that becomes a werewolf.
Oh,
it's a lot of
fun. Is that like Teen Wolf, a basketball player that becomes a werewolf?
Yes, if he was a cop. Sure, right. He doesn't serve on a van
never
in this
seen
at
Teen
all.
Wolf either.
Wait, you've never seen Teen Wolf either? Okay.
All right, let's not get off
You're
topic.
Fine. Don't worry about it.
We gotta keep going.
But she does.
Isn't that Michael J. Fox?
Yes. Sorry.
We're going full circle here.
I'm so sorry, Michael J. I've seen Teen Wolf.
I'm a fan. I saw him in Family Ties.
Okay.
Anyway.
I've seen it. All right. So she does reprise her role as a reporter in Another Wolf Cop, which is a sequel, which I didn't
know. Another Wolf. Is it a new Wolf Cop then? If it's another, is it a new guy? Or
I'm
is it just another movie about the same Wolf
I
Cop? Are there multiple Wolf Cops?
Why would you call it Another Wolf Cop? You should just call it Another Wolf Cop movie, if that's what it is, if it's the same one. I'm hoping it gets a partner that also turns into a wolf at some point.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Didn't see the sequel?
No, I didn't see the sequel.
Yeah, I guess
I might have to
buy
check
our
it out.
Next episode. You need to watch the sequel and report
I will
on what
let
Another
you know
Wolf Cop
what it's
is.
All about. Okay.
Maybe. Or we could reach out to Laura and she could fill us in. Maybe she's the other Wolf Cop.
Oh my God, that would be great.
That would be great.
Wolf Cop and Reporter Wolf? Wolf Reporter? Anyway, she's got some new movies in post-production, so we wish her a long and successful career.
Definitely.
Very way to go, Laura. So now, let's go to Jazzy Gale's practice?
Yeah, we're at the town
Gale's
hall.
Practice? Post town council?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really sure.
I'm assuming... I would say pre.
Yeah.
I think she's setting things up, right?
Okay.
Didn't it look like? Or yeah. So I'm thinking pre.
So Moira shows up and Jocelyn's the only one there. If this is Jazzy Gale's practice, they're both just really early.
Wait a second here.
Did you raise your hand?
I did raise my hand. Because I also, I'm just thinking about how we were talking about it was 1 o'clock on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How is Jocelyn? Jocelyn isn't working today?
Listen.
Maybe it's the summer.
It's... Alexis hasn't even started college yet.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Start a little bit you're earlier right. than
she's going to her orientation, which is
right,
before this.
Exactly. Okay, so this must be summer. It we must rarely be. Get an idea for seasons in yeah. the show.
And she just graduated. Okay.
It's okay. We're, right. we're you know, so it, we're at the it, tail yeah. end of summer.
Because all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, shouldn't she be working?
Right.
Okay.
So Moira confides in Jocelyn about Alexis's pregnancy. And
well, she was distracted. She was really looking for her sunglasses, which Jocelyn said, aren't they on your head?
Right. Yeah, sure.
But then she admitted that she was distracted by a family crisis. And
yes.
Jocelyn did not have to do a lot of prying or questioning. You could tell, obviously, Moira wanted to unload this news on someone.
Right. We get that Moira can't handle secrets because later on we really,
right,
really
no.
see with Johnny, which is a funny
yeah.
Part of the episode.
Yeah.
So this is where she says bebe for the first time.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jocelyn tries to interrupt her a few times, but then finally just comes right out.
I know.
Right,
you could
it.
Just see the, like, how torn she was. And she really wanted to say something, but she didn't really want to say something.
Yes.
And you could tell this was, like, news that she was sort of sitting on and not
really
comfortable with yet.
Yeah. And even though she's not ready to tell Roland or anybody, mm-hmm. I mean, she sees that. What's possibly going
to
happen with Alexis and this
right,
family
right.
later on that day. So she does come out with it and say that it is her pregnancy test. She dropped some stuff
she
off.
Was dropping off books about the college, like
okay.
brochures and stuff, I think, about Elmdale
okay.
College. So yeah, she is dropping that off and had picked up the pregnancy test on her way there, I guess, and decided
right.
to just take advantage of the nearby bathroom.
Yeah, privacy. You
yeah.
know, if nobody's there, you might not want to go home. Who knows what Roland's up
right.
to.
Right, yeah.
I can assume there's no privacy in that house.
No.
I could see Roland just busting into the bathroom, regardless of whether the door's closed or not.
Yeah.
So she asked her to keep it between the two of us. And so this is, I mean, Mutt is their one and only kid,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is like a gap in ages of these kids that
definitely.
I don't want to say is unprecedented.
But we also talked about that they were really young when they got married, you know,
sure.
really young when obviously when he was born.
Yes.
And
this is good for them. I mean, Mutt's, who knows where he is right
he's
now.
He's still looking for pine cones, I think, right?
I don't know. Is he still traveling up the West Coast looking for pine cones? He may be. I don't know if we got
yeah.
a resolution to that. So now let's go back to the motel room.
I also had Moira had a cute little line
That's
in
fine.
There that I super loved
yeah.
that I wrote down because they're talking about keeping it a secret. And Moira said, you always have to be prepared for any event because miracles don't take reservations.
Oh, that's adorable.
Which I thought was super cute. I
yeah,
liked that line when
that
she said it.
That is very cute.
Yeah.
Wow. So Moira can really just come out with, like, great advice.
Yeah.
It sounds like something she read off of a poster or something.
Or it's like a Sunrise Bay line.
Oh, my God. 100%.
But I thought that was actually a really cute line.
Oh,
because
sure.
I think she knew, like, Roland doesn't know yet.
And, yep.
You know, they were talking about, like, ripping it off like a Band-Aid. I wrote that
yes.
down, too, when they were talking about, like, how to, like, kind of share this news out
right.
and everything. But, yeah, I thought that was a really cute little line. Miracles don't take reservations.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the motel room where there is now a huge misunderstanding between Johnny
and
Alexis. And this is really great writing. And you see this in TV
yes.
shows a lot, where two characters are talking about very, very
two
different
totally
things.
Different things, unbeknownst to them. They don't realize. But this, normally, it's like I was saying before, like, the hilarity ensues. And
yes.
it's always, like, stupid and cheesy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
But this, of course, because these writers are so amazing and this show is
yeah.
so amazing, they did it beautifully and seamlessly. And it was
mm-hmm.
funny, but it was not, like, cheesy. And
it was,
but this show
was
isn't cheesy.
Funny, but
like,
there's no hint of, like, well, clearly they're not talking about the same thing here. Like, it really could apply to both instances.
Yes.
You're having a kid or you're starting school,
right.
and it works out perfectly. There's a lot of fun stuff
yeah.
being said. I do like how she does say, this is supposed to be fun. And Johnny's like, it will be fun.
In a few years, I think he says.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really great. So I have a question because I don't know lingo. I don't know what the kids say nowadays. She says, you're being so extra right now. What does that mean?
Oh, I've always heard that.
Oh, really? I've never heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know if that's really lingo that people are still using now, okay. But, you know,
I just didn't know if it meant, you know, like extra aggravating, extra...
Probably.
You know, something like that. Yeah, okay.
I guess I just
didn't know if you knew exactly what it was.
I mean, I don't really... Mm-hmm. I don't really know, like, the exact terminology, but I would assume your guess is pretty close. I liked when she was like, if I don't like it, I'll just give it up and move on.
That is what she says right before she leaves.
Yes.
Because he doesn't even have a reaction to that or able to come back.
No, I think it was like a Johnny, like, eyes get really big and, you know, but...
his eyes get really big. I assume his eyebrows get raised up on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a Johnny reaction there.
Yeah, but that was, it was a really fun scene how they're, you know, the writing there was so great.
So now let's go back to Rose Apothecary because Stevie shows up and there's nobody there.
Nobody there. I like how she, should I say, rings the imaginary bell?
Sure.
She goes ding, ding, ding to get the attention that she's entered the empty store.
Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need a real bell that they might be able to hear. Something really loud. A buzzer in the back. A light that
goes on. Or like one of those,
on.
Like when you open the door and it goes... Like, right. It, like, rings, you know, it's almost like a little doorbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, David comes out first, but eventually they both sort of make their way out of the back
room. Like, they were totally getting it on in the back room.
Right, exactly. And, again, David is so rude. At one point, he says he'll give her 50 cents to get out of the store and not come back.
Well, she said, if you give me $50, I'll stand outside and tell everyone that it's closed.
Yes.
Yeah, because when he comes out, he tells her, we're closed. And that's when I think she says, on 1 o'clock, at 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And when she walked in, you could see the closed sign. So clearly the opposite side was facing out.
Yes,
it said open.
Exactly, yes. It's pretty easy.
It wasn't even like they tried to like flip the sign.
It's pretty easy to just do that. Also, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, to be honest, you could just buy a sign that says out to lunch back at 1 o'clock or whatever. It wouldn't be a huge deal.
Well, I think they're just
to
starting to realize, this is, like we said, it's still a new relationship.
Right.
So they're just starting to realize, like, okay, we would like to have a little bit more time to be intimate and we don't have anywhere to go.
No, I know. And even
even
in my stupid mind, I was sitting here going, why can't they just hire some girl to work the counter? But then I was like, who wants to stand at that counter and listen to those two in the back room when there's no customer? Or worse, when there are customers there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Stevie is very understanding.
Oh, well, she's very observant, too.
Well, no. Oh, yeah, because Patrick has a hickey.
A mouth-shaped sunburn.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a great way
funny.
To describe it. Right.
Yeah. And it was only a half a hickey because they don't have time for a full hickey.
Right.
Because they... just constantly keep getting interrupted.
Sure. There's probably been at least three people in this store today.
Right.
So she is understanding in that she offers them up. And this is really when they go into detail. I think this is the first where we hear about that he's staying with Ray. Or did he mention this before?
This might be the first time.
All right.
Yeah.
Which is great. We'll talk more about that in future episode. This is when she offers up her place to them. Like, you guys have no place to go. Mm-hmm. You can use my place. I am...
She's treating herself.
Treating
to spa
herself
time in Elmdale.
To a spa day. Right.
Yeah.
And...
which...
yeah.
Right away when you hear that, Stevie is not a spa kind of person to me.
I wouldn't think so either.
Yeah. Like, it seems off for her to give that... reason as to what she's doing, and that David's kind of like, oh, sure, okay.
Yeah, if you're gonna lie, Stevie, which we find out it's a lie, whatever. I'm going to visit family. A cousin is moving. I don't know.
Yeah.
And even that doesn't sound like something Stevie would do.
Yeah.
But just make up something that sounds more plausible than I'm gonna go pamper myself. People are going to put cucumber slices on my eyes or whatever happens.
Yeah, that doesn't... that's like
it doesn't sound right. Because David is immediately suspicious. Like, I think he's suspicious, doesn't want to do this. He seems
like, what's the catch?
Right, yes.
You know.
He knows Stevie well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. I still think it's, what's the catch is kind of like, why are you being so nice? Not necessarily. Yeah.
He knows Stevie really well.
But I don't know that he, I don't know. Yeah.
No, but Patrick sees no other option and is just kind of like, yeah.
This, we'll take it.
Right. This sounds great.
Yeah. And then that's when she's like, and I'll take this. And she picks up the bag on the counter and then they're like, oh, there is a bit of a catch.
Right, yeah,
she took whatever was there.
It seems worth
it.
I don't know what was in that bag, but I'm sure it was worth it.
Yeah.
So now we're back. Johnny has been working up figures for this whole baby thing.
He's like budgeting. It's really cute because he was like, she quit, what is it? If we sell the, we can sell the car.
Sell the car.
David can sell the store.
David's selling the store.
Right.
Moira because his sister might have a baby.
What, quit counsel and get like a, I think this is a part-time job,
just a part-time job, yeah.
Right.
She might be able to keep counsel and still have a part-time job at night or something. Maybe she could wait tables. Who knows what he's thinking in his
mind. Said he thinks they could kind of pay for this baby for what, the first 2 years, I think he says?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Moira, though, a lot more calm than earlier that day because
of
she
course.
Says, it's not her baby. I know whose it is. Don't bother asking me. And Johnny doesn't even ask her. He just says a single word and she goes, fine, it's Jocelyn's.
Right, yeah. So again, like we said, not a secret keeper.
Yes. It's really funny. I love how this scene ends too, because at one point Johnny says, I already had a serious talk with Alexis, but now I'm not sure what we were talking about.
Now I'm wondering what we were talking about, right?
Yeah, it's really fun. So now, let's visit Elmdale. Sorry, is it Elmdale Community College or is it just Elmdale College?
It is. Wait, I wrote something down. Okay. Oh gosh, where did I write it?
The only reason I'm asking is that it makes me think.
Oh. Never mind, I just wrote down. I did write down because I thought it was interesting. I think it just said Elmdale College.
That's okay.
And it said established in 1978. I don't know why. I just wrote down the year. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just thought, I'm like, well, clearly this is not like, you know, like some colleges have been around since like 1866 or something like that. This was established in 1978.
And maybe that's why.
Which I just thought was an interesting year.
Maybe that's why I thought it was a community college, just because of how new it is.
I don't know. I think it is a community college.
But if that is, and again, we don't know where this takes place.
Because she's not there for, it's not like she's a 4-year student.
Right. But the reason I bring this up is only because geography is the biggest question mark of this show. And people say it takes place in New York. People say it takes place in Canada. Mm-hmm. I think for some reason it takes place in Northern California on the West Coast.
Yeah, you think that all the time.
If this is a community college, that means that they are in Elmdale County. That's the only reason why this sort of came to my attention.
Right.
At
You've
least,
worked at community colleges.
Right.
And colleges.
That
so,
are named after
that's true.
The community.
Yeah.
Now, again, if this is in Canada, I don't know how that works there. But anyway, so that's just something that came out.
Okay.
And as she's wandering the halls.
Well, wait, what about, do we have any info on the guy that she talks to when she asks, like, that she's looking for the
Well, we have all the info on him because we've already talked about him.
No, she speaks to a student who is coming out of the building and asks him where to go.
Oh, no. Oh, I feel terrible. Here's what I'm going to do. I will record this section later and I will dump it in. So, folks, it's going to be a seamless transition to just me talking about this guy. Possibly in or outside of my closet.
Yeah.
But I will insert this. I feel so bad I didn't.
Yeah, because it's such a brief exchange. And of course, she talks to someone that we met previously.
Oh, man, I feel so bad.
But,
all right.
Yeah, because he's just like, the main building's over there. He, you know, she asks and everything. And she asked about the, you know, looking for this moss-covered building.
Right, she asked because the brochure looks nothing like
And it's the quad behind that and everything. And she has a conversation with him.
Yes.
And he's basically like, yeah, it's right there.
And his name is... Now, this is where I insert.
Right.
It's a wonderful, flawless, seamless transition. So the Elmdale College student, who is credited as college student, is played by Adrian Walters. And Adrian Walters has a pretty big career, pretty long career of all TV series. He's been in some things that we've talked about before, like Heroes Reborn. He has been in several episodes of The Handmaid's Tale. He has been in the TV series Nurses, Dare Me, and most recently, Digstown. So he has a pretty long career, or not long career. His first IMDb credit is from 2008, but he has done quite a bit since then. So that's Adrian Walters. So she gets inside this building, and she's wandering around.
Literally, like, down one hallway. Right. Like, it's not, you know.
No, it looks like a relatively large building from the exterior, but I guess she's able to find where she needs to go because of the wonderful signage.
Right. Orientation.
Which she kind of, lets out an exasperated sigh when she sees the handwritten orientation sign.
Right.
And she runs into our good friend, the driving instructor, is back.
Yeah. And she tells him she's a prospective student.
Yes, exactly. Right. She's not committed to this yet. And I love the fact that...
Well, but that goes back to our huge debate in the beginning. Has she enrolled? Has she not?
Right, exactly.
Orientation, are you already enrolled?
We have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was wondering if he was just playing a different character, if it was just the same actor. But thankfully,
he mentions
that he's a part-time DJ.
Right.
He's got a card, everything like that.
Unless she can call him for DJ services or for a date.
Right, exactly. Yeah, whatever. Either way. Is he working there, or is he a student that works for the school? Giving tours.
It seems like he, I don't know.
It looks like he's a student that he looks to be the age of a student.
When you go to, like, if you go and take a tour of a college, it usually is students that attend, volunteer to do tours and all that kind of stuff.
But just the fact that he says things.
But he's definitely knowledgeable about the school, that there's free coffee and donuts, and here's an agenda for you.
Right.
That's off by one day, so you might not want to use it.
He knows everything about the brochure. They're just using stock imagery with watermarks all over it.
He said it's a still from Dead Poets Society.
Well, right, yes, yeah. But he does say they're using stock imagery, I guess probably throughout the whole thing, which is great.
So I love when she said, so this is basically a joke school.
A joke school, yes.
And he said, well, most people just do their courses online. And then she's like, oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Like, she's totally cool with it then. It's a joke school, but, I can just do everything online? All right.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Right, because she's totally ready to not go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she even asks, when he talks about the online aspect, she's like, okay, so I'm going to refund my request for a refund. Mm-hmm. And so I can just do all this online.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but just... As we move on, when she was in high school, I enjoyed seeing the scenes of her in the classroom.
In
and I kind of am sad that we don't really get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that that's a lot more to do in the series, meaning anytime we see her, well, now do we just have to see her at school, or can she be more part of everything that's going on? So the idea of online school, as we've seen in the past a year and a half now, plus, continues on, is so huge. And I think so many more people are familiar with how this works now
definitely.
Than they were beforehand. So
this
really
was
nice.
Predicting the future.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, it was 2018, right? Like, this is, like...
Yeah, right.
Really, really digging deep in. I mean, there were online classes, certainly, but really digging deep into fully online programs.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. They were out there, definitely, before. But
yeah, sure.
It's obviously changed tremendously.
So now let's go to Stevie's apartment. Second time we've been there, I believe. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of giving David and Patrick the tour of the place.
That she marked the booze.
She marked the booze.
She put a line.
I like how Patrick said you put the line well above where
above
the alcohol is right now. Super fun.
Yeah.
And now...
She's ready to head out to her spa date.
Going for her spa date, but we get a knock. at the door, and even David, he now knows something's up. Like, he even seems suspicious, like, oh, were you expecting company? Right. And her response is, no, I was not.
Yeah. And of course, we see our favorite friendly woodworker.
Yeah, let's say that's what his job is, yes.
Well, he...
No, he is. He has a
wood shop.
Yeah, of course.
We see our friendly wood shop owner, Jake.
Yes. So Jake has shown up. They've got a date. They're going to do some stuff.
A date night in the woods.
Sure.
Yes.
That's a very Jake thing, or Mutt thing, to do.
I guess.
I would imagine that Jake and Mutt might be friends.
Yeah,
it seems like they would have a lot in common, you know?
Yeah. I could maybe see that.
I mean, he's at the party, but...
Yeah. Right. No, that's very true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. It is really fun, though. I do like the fact that they brought Jake back just to kind of, like, weird Patrick out for this scene, which is really fun. Because he comes in and he kisses David on the lips.
Right.
And then
he's like, and who's this?
I do like how he never says his name to Patrick either. And at one point, Patrick is just like, so I guess I'm not getting a name then.
Uh-huh.
It's really fun. And
well, and of course, we get the reference, his, shall we say, pet name? Term of endearment for Stevie is Pony.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. I mean, it's something that we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
But he also references, like, oh, when we all broke up, which is great.
Right.
And so I guess he and Stevie kind of reconnected after the fact.
How do you think they've just been seeing each other secretly the entire time? Do you think there was a lapse in time?
I assume there was probably a lapse in time. I don't know how long it was.
I was trying to, at one point, I don't know, just the way they were talking, it kind of seemed like they never really ended things to me, but then I wasn't really sure if I was reading that correctly.
Right. I mean, it could be either one. We don't know. And again, David's been so preoccupied by this store and his new relationship that it's not even like he ever suspected that Stevie was still with Jake or anything like that.
Right.
So, so we have no idea. But it doesn't seem like this just started again last week or something like that.
Yeah.
So I do like... At the end, on their way out, how he's like, all right, see you. I mean, unless you guys want to come along, which is super fun.
Yeah.
Just a great way to sort of say goodbye to Jake. I could be wrong. Does he come back?
It's not a goodbye. Nope.
We see him again. Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you know that because I didn't. So I love the fact that he'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, when you kind of least expect it, he pops back up.
Great. So David tries to be like, oh, well, that was nothing. And
right, because Patrick's like, you both dated him and you were all three. That goes back to the throuple,
and
right?
All three of you were together.
Okay. And
so now we're going to talk about this, right? Mm-hmm. And it really is like, yep, let me just get the booze.
Yeah.
So I found this really interesting. And this can't be the only time this has happened, but it really jumped out to me that we are in the cafe with Roland and Jocelyn. And I don't know how many scenes in this series takes place without any member of the family in it starting. I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I guess it's just because it's the two of them for a little more than just a moment,
right?
Where it really is just the two of them talking and the two of them alone until Moira and Johnny come in, because you know that now it's time for Jocelyn to tell Roland this.
Right.
They enter and Roland is insistent.
Insistent, yeah. Big time. Like, they were like, oh, no, we're going to sit over here. And, I like that she took Roland for tacos.
Yeah.
The cafe has everything.
The cafe has everything.
That menu, man, is...
Right. And tacos must be a pretty big deal, because she really is like, I brought you out for tacos tonight for a reason.
Right.
And he's like, you don't need a special reason to eat tacos. But in their household, it seems like tacos is a celebratory meal.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know. I just think of all the different things they order at the cafe, and I just love it.
Well, what's also great, and we've talked about, you know, these menus ad nauseum, just the fact that as Jocelyn is trying to have this serious conversation,
Moira opens this ridiculously huge menu that's practically like blocking her. Yes, it's that big.
Yes, and yeah. Johnny's doing the same, yep. And they're just kind of fighting with these menus, yeah. And Johnny's even just talking just right. about right. the food, and Moira's like, oh, they keep, you know, adding addendums to the uh-huh. menu and everything. Yeah.
And they're like sitting diagonally right. yes. like from each other and stuff. Yep. It's just so great how they set that up. And the menus are always,
right.
always so much yes. fun.
And Roland doesn't get it when Jocelyn is talking about how she's been on a Dorito casserole kick
right.
as of late. And why would he get this? How old's Mutt? Mutt's in his 30s. She's talking about something that happened 30 plus years ago.
When she was pregnant with Mutt, that was right. like her favorite dish to make yes. and eat. That was like yes. her craving and everything. Right. But yeah, and typical Roland style, like he is not...
Yeah.
You know, getting
no. He what must she's love saying. Dorito casserole too, because he's like, you're making it so I don't leave you or something.
Oh, to there's. That I told it's you really as we funny. Were watching this, I said, oh, there's recipes out there for Dorito casserole. Like, absolutely. A lot of times, I think when people have Schitt's Creek themed parties or events, they try to maybe have food wow. that relates. So there's Dorito casserole and there's mozzarella sticks and there's cinnamon buns and like all of the
enchiladas,
right. of course. Yeah. But, wow. oh no, you can definitely. I think Dorito casserole is basically some kind of like Mexican-y kind of, you know, dish that has like Doritos crumbled on top.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That answers the question.
Were you just envisioning like Doritos baked and.
Yeah. Because yeah. I was like, wouldn't they get soggy?
It would be... No. Okay. No, I think they're almost used as like a topping.
All right. Well, it's a good yeah. thing I'm never just making Dorito casserole.
Would you like me
casserole.
To... I'll find a recipe and I'll make it.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
We'll give it a try.
Oh, my God. All right. Yeah. Welcome. We should start our spin-off
series. We now have a cooking
series.
Segment.
on our podcast. I don't know. I believe this should have an entire podcast all its own.
Oh, we I don't review know if you could sustain Schitt's that Creek for a food. Long time.
Probably not.
Yeah. We could have warm hollandaise sauce.
Sounds great. So, Twyla comes over to take their order, and this is just now too much for Jocelyn, and mm-hmm. she just blurts it out,
totally. Right. And Twyla's so, as yeah. Twyla is always just so cute and sweet, she's like her face just yep. lights up.
She's
like,
very excited for these
yes,
two.
Yes, it's yeah. so cute.
It's very cute, and of course, I mean, you know, this is probably only the second time I've seen this. For you, it's more than that. And for people listening, it's probably way more than that for some people. Mm-hmm. I never once thought that Roland was going to have an issue with this. Like, you know what Roland's reaction is going to
right.
be.
But of course, he sits there and he literally looks like he's
second,
in complete
yes.
shock.
Right.
You know, can't speak, can't move,
yep.
can't yeah yes. do anything.
And then he yells and screams like... Yeah. Champagne for everybody, which I think is great,
right.
especially when Jocelyn says, I can't drink, and he goes, oh yeah, you're driving.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. And then he's like, how about just one beer? Right. Like, after he had already yelled and everybody's expecting
champagne. I think he
champagne.
Even says one beer for me.
Right, yeah.
So it's yeah. it's really fun.
But it is nice, like, when they, you know, make that announcement. Everybody in the cafe claps.
Everyone applauds.
And, yeah, it's just a really cute
Oh, it's
cute
it's
moment.
Really, really nice, yes. Yeah. And I also love how Johnny is really bad at pretending this is the first time he's heard of it.
Yeah,
because
like,
after
oh,
the huge announcement,
yeah.
he's still ordering food.
Right, he wanted, like, French onion soup right. and calamari.
Yes, and he's like, oh, yeah, wow, this is amazing mm-hmm. news.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're back with David and Patrick.
Right, at Stevie's, yeah.
I like the very small detail. Again, you're taking notes a lot. I don't know if you noticed this. When he walks over with the whiskeys, he goes, this one's yours, and it is significantly more full than his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, they just want to clarify. They need to clarify their relationship, basically. They're just kind of having a discussion about that.
Right, yes. And the whole time, like, David's trying to get into make-out sexy time, and Patrick is having none of it for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the fact that they didn't keep this up mm-hmm. too long.
Right.
Like, it is a lot of, like, so wait, what's happening? So wait, this happened? And then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It goes on for a little bit. But eventually they just sort of, like, I guess, understand, hey, we have this place, so, you know, let's make the most of this time.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is, we also hear David in this scene say, I don't want any of that. Like, one of his, like, big lines. But yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I hate to say fine. I just don't like the, and not to spoil my thoughts, I just don't like the Patrick David stuff that's going on in this episode. And I don't know what it is about it that I'm not crazy about, but I just feel like you're meandering through this and you're trying to progress this relationship. And I don't know if this is the best way to do it, but
let's move on. I didn't mind it too much. I know we've kind of very briefly talked about the fact, and I have, and again, I feel like, and I even kind of said to you, mentioned, this is definitely, I think, an unpopular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of a mixed feeling sometimes about Patrick.
Sure.
I think Patrick does really, obviously, amazing things for David. And I think their relationship is great. And I think it's what David needs and everything. But I also sometimes struggle with the idea that Patrick kind of talks down to him at times.
Yes.
And that sort of bothers me just a little bit. That sometimes I feel like he dismisses him.
Yes.
And some of it, I think, is, okay, I'm trying to deal with the crazy. And sometimes I think maybe David needs that. But sometimes it just, like, just sort of the way he just, it's hard for me to even say, like, a specific example. But just sometimes I feel like he gets, like, kind of that little smile on his face.
I think he's a little condescending.
A little bit. And certainly not all the time. And I think the good in their relationship outweighs that. But, sometimes I think he I was going to say doesn't appreciate David for who he is. But I think he does do that. Like, there just are moments where I kind of look and I'm like, just let David be David. Like, David needs this freak out moment, or you don't need to kind of have a little bit of an underhandedly sarcastic-y kind of comment to him that
I agree.
Kind of belittles him.
I agree. And I think, like you said, it's probably kind of an unpopular opinion. Because
I think people are very favorable about Patrick. And in most instances, I really think I am as well. And like I said, I love their relationship and where it goes. And and I think they complement each other well in many situations. Yeah. But
and I feel like a lot of it comes down to, and I've seen stuff like this online, and I've heard people say this, people will say things like, Patrick is good for David. And I don't like that. Like, I don't like that term because
I just said that.
No, I don't think you used that. But
okay.
But it really makes it seem like David's missing something, or without Patrick, he's got nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I never hear they're good for each other.
I feel like sometimes they're good for each other.
And I feel like sometimes in this series, it's not shown the other way. Like, it's not shown that, hey, you know what? David was really good for Patrick because.
But I have to say, I think later on, there's a huge poignant moment with Patrick.
Okay.
That.
We'll get there.
We will get there. Okay. And I don't. And again, we're assuming everybody has seen this. And really, if I reveal, and maybe some people are knowing exactly what I'm talking about, but I feel like I don't want to give a spoiler. But we absolutely see how they are good for each other.
Okay.
But yeah, like sometimes I just,
I completely agree.
Like you said, maybe he just sort of makes light of things that, you know, are big to David. Right. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he needs to do that to rein in David's anxiety and worry and crazy sometimes, you know?
No, I think I think there's a lot to that, but I also feel like it's unbalanced as to who's better for who, but I don't even like that term.
Yeah.
Like, even when we're, you know, and we don't need to get into our personal lives a whole lot, but we know people who have been in relationships, and a lot of times you'll hear something like, oh, that's so good for that person. And I'm like, well, it makes it seem like that person is a real problem and they need someone there that is gonna, you know, correct them or something like that. And I don't like that. And I'm not saying that that's what Patrick is doing, but sometimes it can come off that way.
Yeah, I think, Dave, I mean, obviously we know, I think he was lonely, and I've often said, like, I feel like he didn't have meaningful friendships and everything. So I think in that respect, he was maybe missing that that connection with people.
Yeah.
You know, so I think in that regard, yeah, their relationship is amazing. But I do think there's like that give and take. But I agree with you that a lot of times it's more like Patrick being.
Yeah. And I hate to keep going back to David and Stevie, but that seemed good for each other. You know what I mean? Like,
Stevie needed
David there. Mm-hmm. David needed Stevie. Like, they found each other at the perfect time. Yeah. So for that friendship, I think, you know,
and
it
there was
a lot more
the
apparent.
Sarcasm back and forth was embraced, and they really built a closeness.
Exactly.
And sometimes I feel like this is a little more like a little bit of a one-sided sarcasm at times about things.
No, I agree. Yeah. Now that we've lost half our audience who are just big Patrick heads, we'll call them.
We didn't say we don't love him.
No.
I just don't.
And it's funny, too.
Don't like the little, almost like a little dig.
Just little jabs here and there.
Yeah.
You know, but it could be a defense mechanism. I don't know. I think we're just we're off on a tangent, and this is suddenly last night while watching this and taking notes, I was like, we're gonna breeze through this. I think this is our longest episode now. So.
I know. We've
So let's get into the final scene.
Sorry, people that love when we get right to the point. We've really been all over the place this episode, but
sorry, Mikey J. So let's get into the last scene of this episode, which is back at the motel. And now Johnny knows, now Moira knows.
Yes.
And now Alexis shows up and they're telling her, like, we totally thought that you were pregnant.
And she's like, ooh, that's so mean.
That's so mean. A great response. Yeah. It's really fun. And sort of everything is figured out because the discussion, you know, because she's like, oh, I thought you were talking about me starting college and everything. And I find it interesting that no one's response is, you're starting college. That's so great. It's like she didn't even say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know we have more to go with that, but, and I know that we're, you know, pressed for time in a 22-minute episode.
Right.
But no one really acknowledges that. It's just about the pregnancy thing.
Right.
So the only person in the family who doesn't know this is David, of course, and he shows up.
Yeah.
I love how Alexis immediately is talking about the twins.
Yes. Yeah, well, he's just trying to process her situation. Yeah, and she's like, well, when the twins come, I'm going to need a lot of help. Yes. Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to take a hard pass.
Yeah, right. And it's a lot of fun, too, because it is diffused, and they tell him that Alexis isn't pregnant and all of that. He also looks like a wreck. Like, that, you know, having Stevie's place, I don't know what time of day this is or what's happening, but it looks like he just woke up.
I also have a note, like, my notes make no sense in this section.
Sure.
But I have David outside. They must have mentioned something about being outside, or I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Because this, in this moment, is one of Alexis's really fun, ooh, burn, David. But now I don't remember or have clear notes in what that was reference to. Or what was said. Somebody said something to him, and she said, ooh, burn, David. But now I don't know what
it
was.
I know, and that's one of those memes that you see all over the place, is her saying that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't remember what it was from. So we really, really, after our Patrick discussion, we just totally tanked on this
unraveled.
Episode. We were like,
no,
we're done.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Oh, but I do love at the end, she just talks about the twins as thinking about them as tiny little roommates whose poops you can clean up.
Right. And that's even after he's told that she's not pregnant. It's fun.
Wow, this is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the very, very best to the very, very least of the best, let's say, to be nice. So, Carla, if this episode were a...
Would you give it a smiley face or a frowny face?
Oh, darn it. I should have done that. I was going to say, if this episode were a university, would it be a joke school or a real school?
Oh, well, that one's good, too.
And I will show you your rankings. The text is getting smaller and smaller.
Let me get out my glasses.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, you can see. We do nothing to plan this in advance because I literally have to scroll down my list. If I had more time, I would labor over it and I still wouldn't know where to put it.
Well, no.
So on the spot, I think is maybe better.
If I eventually did what I say I should do in multiple episodes, I should just send you a screenshot of this before we start.
I wouldn't look at it.
Well, at least I wouldn't have to turn
the... I would be like, oh gosh, I didn't look at that screenshot.
I wouldn't have to turn the laptop around then. You'd at least be able to look at your phone.
Oh gosh. I'm going to say, this is a really fun episode. I'm going to put it at, oh my gosh, I don't know. There's too many. We're 40. We're up to 40. This is 41.
This is 41, yeah.
Oh my goodness, this is stressful. I'm going to put this one at... is my new number 15.
Okay, 15. Yes. That is after Motel Review and above
The Affair.
Both, episode 8 and 9 from last season. Hmm. Oh, very nice. Yeah, we did no prep because I don't even know where I'm going to put this. Well, I am going to put
it.
This... number 24.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a little bit lower. Like I said, I'm not crazy about the Patrick and David stuff. Mm-hmm. I am, this might be a blanket statement that is probably untrue if I think about other episodes, because I do like Bob's Bagels. When an episode kind of revolves around someone that is not a member of this family, like this is kind of a Jocelyn episode in a weird way.
Oh, I feel like Jocelyn was in very little of
no,
it.
No, she was in very
so
little, but
I
it,
don't.
It revolves around her pregnancy, and I could be very surprised as we move through the season, but I remember not being crazy about that storyline. Mm, so okay. I could be proven wrong as I do my only rewatch of most of these episodes.
People are probably like, why are these two even doing a podcast? They
I'm sure
are uneducated. I'm sure
there are plenty of people thinking that.
We're an obnoxious duo.
When you say, I'm sure, you're right. I'm sure, too. Oh. So, yeah, that's where I'm going to put it. Right. A bit of a discrepancy there. But if you're talking about, you know, 40-plus episodes and you're at 15 and I'm at 25, 24, yeah. It's not that far apart.
No.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you again.
Thanks for sticking
listening.
With us this episode.
Yeah, you really,
if you didn't turn it off halfway through,
you really stuck
good for
with
you.
Us this episode. This is great. I hope you're not too upset about
I hope
our...
somebody talked about being at the gym and laughing as they were listening to us in a review,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping you stuck on that treadmill
right.
and hung in there with
yeah.
us.
I'm
and
hoping,
hopefully we gave you some laughs.
Yeah, I'm hoping we could make you work out for over an hour for this episode. It's not one of our 30-minute ones.
You're
exhausted now. Right? Yes, exactly. You're exhausted and angry that we're not the biggest Patrick fans, I guess, out there. I think I'm just going to constantly give you a hard time about that through the rest of the podcast. I don't know.
Okay.
Even though I agree with you.
No, I
know.
I'm not a big fan. There's just moments where I'm like, oh.
And I'm hoping other people
that?
Feel that way. Like, let us know if you feel that way or if you feel we're completely off base. I know that
yeah.
I know that David's other relationships we've seen haven't been all that great
yeah.
compared to this, but
yeah.
either way. So again, thanks for listening. Ratings, reviews are always appreciated. I will
maybe
read.
Not after this episode. Maybe,
right. Take some time.
Yeah.
Maybe listen to older episodes and you know, give us comments based on that. But we will talk to you guys again 2 weeks from today when we are discussing the third episode of season 4, Asbestos Fest. Wow, that's a lot of...
That's a tongue twister.
A lot of people say asbestos.
Oh. You can say whatever you want. We'll see what they say in the episode.
Good idea. Great. I can't wait to find out.
And just be prepared. I will probably struggle to say that word.
Oh, no.
All next episode.
Oh, no. I hope they don't bring up Stavros and asbestos.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you all again in 2 weeks' time.
Warmest regards.